Do keep your Bibles open. So that's page 1026, if you've already shut it. So as Will said, my name's Amber, and it's a real privilege to be here as we look together at Mary's Song, part of our Advent series. So let's pray as we begin. Holy Spirit, please help open our minds and our hearts to your word to us this morning. Amen. Well, I don't know how each of you are feeling about Advent. Christmas is getting nearer and nearer. You might be feeling glad for the extra chocolates and mince pies, or perhaps just weighed down by a calendar that's bursting at the seams. For others, it might be more of a lonely time, with the hustle and bustle going on around, emphasising isolation. I wonder how you feel about this countdown, this time of waiting. But however we feel about it, for Christians, this season is one of spiritual preparation. We remember afresh Jesus' coming to earth, and we simultaneously look ahead to his promised return. A season of waiting and trusting for a time that is to come. If you think about it, this season is a really crucial one. Learning to wait well for God to act, for God to speak. It's a crucial part of our spiritual growth. When we've been praying for a particular situation or seeking God's will over an aspect of our lives, we instinctively desire an immediate response. But God works in his time and his ways. And these don't always align with our expectations. So as disciples, we need to learn to grow in our ability to wait well, trusting God's word to come at the right time. And so Advent, this season right now, is the opportunity we have each year to grow in our ability to wait. So what does it mean to wait well for God? Well, times of waiting can, to the untrained eye, seem rather passive. But as we look today at Luke 1 and we explore Mary's time of preparation for Jesus' arrival, we see that waiting on God is not passive, but proactive. You just have a think in your mind of our images of Mary. Our westernized Mary is often portrayed as meek, mild. Her eyes are often lowered, humbly waiting quietly. But today's passage is known as Mary's Song. Is her bold and passionate proclamation of the goodness of God. And it gives us a far richer and truer picture of both her character and her understanding of what it meant to wait on God. So let's take another look into the passage, starting at Luke 1, verse 39. We read, it begins, "At that time," at which point we ask ourselves, well, at what time? So if we just scan our eyes a little higher up the page, we'll find the familiar passage that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, which explores the Annunciation, Angel Gabriel informing Mary she would conceive. Mary questions how this could be as a young girl prior to marriage, and Mary is told nothing is impossible for God. And as proof that even her old and presumed to be barren cousin Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant. Elizabeth's pregnancy has been given to Mary as a sign, a demonstration to her that God's word never fails. So quite sensibly, verse 39, "At this time, after the angel leaves, Mary hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where Elizabeth lives, to check this proof indicated." So we can see that firstly, waiting on God involves acting where we can on what he's already spoken. Mary doesn't sit around waiting to see if a child will appear. She takes the initiative to act on the information she already has. And for me, when I read this, a mental image just sort of popped to mind of Mary. The moment Gabriel leaves, without pausing for thought or stopping for her coat, just rushing out the house, through the village, running non-stop until she arrives, breathless, an hour or two later, at the nearby town to knock at the door of her cousin Elizabeth. That's exactly what I would have done. But actually, we know that this can't have been. Firstly, we're told in verse 39 that before hurrying out the door, if you take a look, it says, at that time, Mary got ready. She would have had to plan this journey first. The journey from Nazareth to the Judean hill country was a journey of around 80 to 100 miles. So it would have taken around 4 to 5 days on foot. And this opens up all sorts of questions. Where did she stay along the route? Was she travelling with others? How would she have funded this? This was no light undertaking. It was not a safe journey for a lone, unmarried female, and let alone a young, pregnant one. Embarking on the journey itself reveals Mary's heart that eagerly seeks faith and understanding. Waiting on God requires that we act with faith on what he has already spoken. I greatly admire the courage that Mary had to do this. But it's not the journey itself that I have been especially struck by as I've pondered this passage. I mean, I can completely understand Mary's desire for confirmation straight away, regardless of the cost. There's something satisfying about responding with immediate action to a call. You know, what I would have found harder, if I were in Mary's position, is choosing, as she did, to know when to act and when to proactively prepare. She didn't just rush out the door. She took the time to get ready. Learning to wait well for God requires discernment of the times. Preparation for action, action itself. A few years back, some good friends of mine heard very clearly God's call for them to move their family overseas. The call came with numerous confirmations, and they were really excited. It came completely out of the blue. But it's now a few years on, and the practicalities for them to move just haven't come together yet. And in that time, they've been through every emotion. Joy and excitement, sorrow as they ponder the loss of leaving, confusion and doubt. As they're now wondering, well, when will the time come? Will it ever come? It is often easier to act than it is to wait and prepare. And in the same way, I think it would have cost Mary to take the time to get ready for this journey. Because every hour delayed would have been yet another hour where doubts and questions could begin to form. It is easier to act than it is to prepare. But God is at work in our waiting, and discerning the time is part of our learning to wait well. So let's jump back into the passage. Having taken the time to get ready, it's now the right time to depart, and Mary rushes off to surrender to God's call on her life. She arrives in Judea. We're told later on in verse 56 that she stayed with Zechariah and Elizabeth for about 3 months until John is imminently due to be born, before heading back to her family and presumably her chat with Joseph. But when she first arrived, you have a look at verses 40 to 45. We see that Elizabeth immediately recognises Mary's son-to-be, And John, the baby in her own womb, leaps for joy, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. As a result, Elizabeth blesses Mary, saying in verse 42, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear." And verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary arrives. Elizabeth is pregnant. And then she speaks by the Holy Spirit to confirm again God's promise. Mary has received her proof. And in response, Mary's song. Mary bursts out in praise of God. And although the text doesn't actually say she sings this, it's known as her song as its beautiful poetic praise. And it's amazing when you think about it that she bursts out in thanksgiving to God for answered prayer. Because the confirmation she has just received actually raises more questions than it does answers. We said that waiting on God requires firstly acting where we can on what God's already spoken. Secondly, discerning if it's a time of preparation for action or a time of action itself. And now thirdly, we see that even when we don't understand or have all the answers, waiting well involves praising God before the answer comes. The first section of Mary's song, from verse 46 to 53, praises God for who he is and what he has already done. And those of you who are familiar with your Old Testament will recognise some of this. It actually runs in remarkable parallel with Hannah's song of praise recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 2. So despite her young age, we see that Mary knows her scriptures well. And in fact, she's so steeped within them that when she praises, praise from scripture comes out. But why is it Hannah's praise she reflects into her circumstances, given how different they are? Hannah's song of rejoicing was one of answered prayer. The physical arrival, the birth of her child Samuel, after years of longing and praying. Could Mary have been praying with the same depth of longing for the Saviour to come and now be rejoicing in God's answer? Because her pregnancy, unlike Hannah's, was uninvited. The news of it would be received with a distinct lack of welcome by everyone around her. And as we've said, it created more questions than answers. So why this song of praise, a declaration of answered prayer? It's intriguing. Verses 46 to 48 says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Waiting well involves praising God for his answers before they have fully come, even when it still seems unbelievable or unlikely. And this is not because God needs advance applause, but because by it we grow in faith. So towards the end of the song, verses 54 and 55, Mary then rejoices in the promise to her people that is being fulfilled through her. And we see here that she starts looking outwards, not inwards. She says, "He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, just as he promised." See, this is true. God is fulfilling the promises from generations and generations before. But it came at great personal cost, and still Mary is rejoicing for it. She considers her own life and her own plans to be of less importance than the wider work of God. Which brings us to our final point today, that waiting on God involves being open to being rerouted. Mary's life plans had been completely undone. But luckily, I think if she were using a navigational device for her journey through life, she would have been a fan of the Google Maps variety. I don't know if there are any Google Maps users here, but it's great. You take an unexpected turn, it just reroutes you. No fuss, no panic, just follow the new directions. It doesn't matter how unexpected it is, it just adapts. Now, before I discovered the wonders of Google Maps, I used my old sat-nav. And sadly, this was not the case. If I had an unexpected turn or change of direction due to a roadblock or something, with my sat-nav directing, it just kept shouting the original directions at me as loudly as possible. And when I can't turn around where possible, it just got crosser and crosser with me. Now, when God reroutes us, and he does, sometimes in unexpected ways, he desires us, like Mary, to reroute and adjust to his new call and purpose. Yet so often, I know I respond like my cross-old sat-nav, repeating back to God my original plan. Mary was a Google Maps person. She gladly rerouted her life as God led, with great personal cost. I mean, how easily we find it to be put out by God and what he asks of us. Waiting well means being open to change, regardless of our circumstance, that we too can declare, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Christ's coming on that first Christmas all those years ago is the fulfillment of a great and deep longing of the human race to have God with us. The incarnation, God coming in flesh, is mysterious, intriguing. And it evokes something in us, as it did in Mary, that just has to know more. And it seems to me that this season of learning to wait well, this season of Advent, is parallel to God at work in each of us. Our God reveals himself powerfully to us through Jesus. He is a God who wants to be known. And yet, he simultaneously often hides himself from us, just enough to keep us constantly seeking to draw nearer, to wait well, our ears always attentive to his voice. So how can we wait well? We can act where we can on what we've already been given. We can discern the times and proactively prepare for the time of action. And we praise God before the full answer emerges for who he is, for what he's done, and what he will do. And we stay open to being rerouted along the way. So let us pray. Father, forgive us those times where we doubt your word. Strengthen and sustain each one of us to hold fast to your promises, no matter what season we're in. Help us, Lord, to wait well. Amen.